worship team come on down. Give them another hand if you would. Thank you all. All right, I appreciate Pastor John giving me the opportunity to share this morning. He asked a few weeks ago. I felt like the Lord had something for me to share, though I did not know what direction yet, but I felt like he was prompting me to speak. And so I'm going to do my best to try and share this morning what he wants to be shared. And you'll notice on the back of your bulletin, there is a place for sermon notes. You certainly don't have to make any notes, but if you want to, there's a place on the back. I did not come up with a fancy acrostic or anything like that, but hopefully I'll point you in the direction he wants this morning. But what you could title, if you want to title it, it says, "I'm not, but God, I will." And that sounds weird. That's not a proper statement or sentence. Is you can put an "I'm not," and then if you want to put a semicolon, "but God," another semicolon, "I will." So that's where God led me one night last week as I was heading home. I can't remember which night it was, but those are three things he put on my mind and in my heart to share this morning. So that's what I'm going to share. And there are a lot of things that I'm not. I'm not very good at golf. I'm not a pro athlete. I am not a genius by a long stretch of the imagination. I'm not a biblical scholar. And the list could go on and on. You may think in yourselves, okay, there's some things I'm not. And you're like, well, are we going to be negative this morning and talk about all the things we're not? And it may seem that way, but I want to tell you what God can do through us, because when we think we're not, there are things he can do in our lives and that we can if we allow him to, if we're obedient to him. And these are things, what I want to point us to this morning, are things that I personally may not be in my walk with the Lord, okay? So you got three things there. You've got "I'm not, but God, and I will." And you could call those three different sections, if you will. And inside of those, there's going to be five things about each. There's an A, B, C, D, and E for each of those. And the A's are going to all tie together, the B's, and I'll get to that, and it doesn't matter. So hopefully you'll listen, and it comes from Scripture, so hopefully this is something that the Lord can do in your life as well. And so there's five things that I thought of here that I'm not. First one, it says, I'm not a preacher. Okay? I'm not called a pastor. I'm not bold. I'm not courageous. I am not patient, though I thought I was. I am not hot or cold. All right? And you may think, are these all the things that you're just trying to talk about, the negative things in your life? And they may not all be the same at this point in time in life, but these are some things that I've thought of in my life that I'm not, but because of God, I am, or I will. First one, I'm not a preacher. I don't believe I am a preacher. I really don't believe I am. I don't believe I could lead or pastor a church. I believe God's called me into serving inside a church underneath leadership. I believe that's where God has placed me and where he wants me to be. But I do believe God has at times called me to preach his word and given me opportunity over the years to preach his word. Always appreciate Pastor Ben's really the one who kind of gave me a lot of nudge and challenged me to do that in the past when I did not think I could do it, and I really can't do it. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I have no degrees. I have no formal education. I just don't think of myself as a very good speaker, to be quite honest with you. So I don't believe I am a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not called to be a pastor. But let me tell you what about this. It says, but God called me to preach. And if you flip over in your scripture to 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to take us to five different places here, and I won't dwell too long on them, but I want to tie them together in each of these points that I'm making. So the first thing it says, I'm not a preacher, and I'm not called a pastor, but God called me to preach. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, and it says, in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of this appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So I don't believe I'm a preacher, but I believe many of us can be preachers or teachers of God's gospel, of His word. And that doesn't mean you stand before a group of people. And that's what I'm doing this morning, or attempting to do this morning. But what Paul was charging Timothy to do here, this young man, was saying to preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. And what that means is to always be ready. I'm always reminded when I read this scripture. I have a buddy of mine who is the Lord called him to preach. His name is Josh. And the church it's actually the church my wife grew up in, my mother-in-law goes to, and my sister-in-law's and a lot of their family have gone to. Brother Billy Holloway is a preacher over there. And my buddy Josh, walking into church this one morning, he said, "Did you bring your sword with you?" And of course, Josh had it, and what he meant by that is his Bible. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you're preaching this morning." And the Lord had just moved in his heart and said, "Josh, you're going to preach." And so what that just is such a good reminder of me that you don't ever know. You know, there's been times, a few weeks ago, Brother Lyle stepped in for John because he got sick. And he got sick on a Friday, I believe, and he started texting saying, "Does anybody have a message that God wants them to bring?" And Brother Lyle was ready in season and out of season. He had a message, and you know why that is? Because he's been studying and he reads the word and he's prepared and God calls him, and he has been a preacher in the past and he's much more of a preacher than I would be, and I'll say that I'm not trying to lift him up. But he was ready to preach because he was in the word. There are other men around here that could do this far better than I can. And they're ready to preach because they study the word. Brother Johnny, he reads the word, he studies, he's ready to preach. If he gets called to preach, I think it was Friday, we were texting something, he was in the truck. And he didn't know what it was because he wasn't reading. He was doing the proper thing. So he was trying to get in touch with me. He's like, "What's going on? Is there something going on?" And I can almost tell you, he was like, "Do I need to do something?" Because I know his heart. Matt's the same way. Dave, there's others, probably some other men around here that could do the same thing. So I'm not a preacher, but God's called me to preach at times, so I will preach. Not because I want to, but I believe God desires, and I don't know if that's the right word, or I'm going to obey God. When He provides that opportunity for me, I'm going to be obedient to what He wants me to do and try to say what He wants me to say and get out of the way as best I can. Secondly, I'm not bold, but God said to be bold. Acts chapter 4. This is about Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. So if you know all about this, if you know Scripture, you study your Word, we know what's not long before this happened. We know that the bold, very, very, very bold Peter was the very one who not long before Jesus was arrested said he would never turn his back on him, never deny him, even though Jesus said, "Yeah, you will," three times, in fact, before the rooster crows. And then, in fact, he followed through and did, because he got afraid, just like every one of the other disciples who dispersed and was scattered and were scared to death. But something changed. Something changed so much that Jesus came back to life, was resurrected, restored Peter, and not long after that was preaching to these people, the very ones who he was afraid of. He wouldn't share, he wouldn't even admit that he even knew Jesus. Denied it three times. Just wouldn't even admit he had any association to him. Then publicly preaching to all these people, to the very fact that 3,000 became believers that very first sermon he preached. And these are some things he said at that time. Verses 8 through 12 reads, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this,'" I love that, "'then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no other one else, for there is no other name given to men by which we must be saved.'" Over in verse 13 or following that, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. And further down in verses 23, it goes on to say in verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. After they prayed, the place where they were filled was meeting and shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That is verse 31. So you went from being, they described them accurately. They were unschooled, ordinary men that had really been afraid, had been scared to death, that they were going to be arrested or have their lives taken from them. Just like what happened to Jesus, to the point where they would deny him, to the point where they would boldly state this to them and confront them with the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, giving them the boldness to say these things. So I'm not bold, but God said to be bold, so I'm going to share. Amen. Third one, I'm not courageous. Old Testament, Joshua 1. We know Joshua would be taking over the leadership of the Israelites after Moses' passing. So if you turn back to Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9. No one will be able to stand up against you, God speaking to Joshua, all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. These verses remind me of my grandfather, Norman Buddy Nash Pop, what we call him. And the reason they remind me of this is when I was ordained as a deacon here. As I stood up here and different deacon men, ordained people, reverends, my dad was there, my father-in-law, several other men, Brother Terry was there, I don't even remember who all, it was probably Johnny, I don't remember, John, Darren, who, I don't know, but Darren may not have been ordained at that time, I don't remember. Anyway, I don't remember who all, but I remember him specifically. Because he came up to me and gave me a simple statement, and it was like a charge, like this was, that God was giving Joshua at that time. And Pop came up to me, and as I was praying, I mean, I knew it was him coming up here, and he put the Bible on my shoulder, and he said, keep that as a mantle for your life. And when I read that part there, it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditating on it, I'm reminded of that. Because that's what he was charging me, and he was encouraging me there. And that helps me to be mindful and to be courageous to know, because I know that he had experienced that, and he had dwelt in God's word, and he was passing that on to me. And that those verses of scripture there, as God's charging Joshua, is a reminder for my granddaddy to be courageous. So I'm not courageous, but God is my courage, so I will stand. I'm not patient, and I'll share a little bit on this. I used to think I was patient. I told y'all about a guy, Josh, earlier that preaches some. Well, we worked together for about 12 years. I worked for his uncle. And Josh used to tell me that I had the patience of Job, because in that situation, we dealt with a lot of things in work that would cause a lot of people to be impatient, lose their patience, or get angry, if you will. And y'all probably can go through this. But he said, man, Bob, you just got the patience of Job. And I'll tell you, I think that kind of brought something up in me, sort of prideful, to be honest with you. So like, man, I am super patient. I'm super patient. Well, I'm so patient. Listen to Josh and, you know, kind of... Well, then God said, let me bless you with kids. And I'm not pointing them out, but your life truly gets flipped upside down when you have children. And y'all all know that, and those of you experience that. and with children, because you do. It's just they're different. Bo and Katie, I'm not pointing this out to y'all, but any of us can say you thought you were patient with, you're not quite as patient as you thought. So I'm not patient. And then the Lord blessed us this past summer with a new dog, and I've turned a whole new level of patience with our new buddy Finn in our house. So, but I am not patient, or as patient as I thought I was, which is really not patient at all. And we won't talk about traffic or things like that, kids, when we get in a vehicle with me. So, but God has taught me true patience. Over in Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9, he says to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. You see, there's been many times in ministry, I would say, as I've worked with children and teenagers and young people and children again over the years, that I have lost my, not necessarily lost my patience with them, but in my mind saying, okay, God, am I seeing the results you want to see? Because what do we as humans do? We're a scoreboard watcher, right? And I want to see the score going up. It's like last night, thankfully the Braves number went higher than the Dodgers and ended higher than the Dodgers. But we're maybe not everybody is, but I'm a sports nut and I'm a scoreboard watcher, so I'm all about sports and those kind of things. So in ministry, I'm probably the same way. You know, you see maybe some other churches that you say, oh, they've got more kids, they're doing this, they've got more activity. And that can become our human eyes that see that kind of thing, right? Our humanness, our flesh, and we're not counting what God is really doing in the midst of no matter what size of group of people that you're ministering to, and what God is doing in the midst of that, instead of you looking at what others are doing. And we do that not only in ministry, do that in our personal lives, where we look at, you know, it's called keeping up with the Joneses. You may look at somebody else's houses or their cars, or maybe they have the new iPhone, and you have the old iPhone 7 or whatever model you got, like I got. And you want the newest thing, the latest technology, right, kids? You want the newest laptop, or I don't even know what, or tablet, or whatever's out there. But we can become we want to compare with others. And we want that in a hurry, and we want to get those things in a hurry. We don't want to wait. You know, oftentimes in our lives, we have to wait on things. And whether that's in ministry or our personal lives or our jobs, we see others advance, maybe. And you think, that's not fair. Why are they getting that job, that promotion, this thing, when I've done this for so long, I've been faithful in this job? But I let that kind of creep over into ministry sometimes, and I think, okay, and God has to kind of discipline me a little bit and bring me back to say, look, these are the people, this is the children, these are the young people that I've given you. Minister to them and forget about what anybody else is doing. Because that doesn't matter. That's all junk. But in the midst of all of this, and it may not be in ministry, it may be you're waiting for a diagnosis, or you're waiting to be better from something, you're waiting to heal from something. My sweet wife right now, you may have not seen her for a few days, a few weeks even, because she's at home with a knee, her knee is torn, or she's got a torn meniscus in her knee, so she has to have surgery in November. So literally, she can get up for about 3 or 4 minutes and walk around, and, you know, go to the kitchen or go to the restroom. But by the time she's on her way, her knee is hurting her so bad, she's got to sit down and put it up and put ice on it. And any of you have gone through that? So, but she's been down 4 weeks, and my wife does not like to sit around. She likes to go, right? She wants to go places and do things. She enjoys her job. She enjoys work. But she can't do those kind of things. And so now she's in a season of patience, if you will, having to wait on that, having to wait until she gets the surgery and then wait for the recovery and the physical therapy that will happen from that. But there's going to be seasons of life when we have to wait. Maybe we've prayed for kids. We've tried to have children. We're unable to have children. You're waiting in a season of that, or whatever it is. You're waiting on a job. You lost your job, and you've put out hundreds of resumes, and you're not getting that place, but you have to wait on that. And it's hard to be patient, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in a job, whether it's in our finances, a physical ailment, a sickness, a relationship we're dealing with. You've prayed for your kids. Maybe you have grown kids that are just kind of wandered from God, and you pray, God, just bring them back. And you know, you can't force them to come back, but you're just waiting on that. And you just keep praying. And I would just encourage you, keep praying for that. Whatever it is, the job, the child, the relationship, the healing, whatever you're walking in, whatever you're going through. Because I'm not patient. But God taught me true patience, so I'll wait. The last point here, I'm not hot or cold. I went through a season of my life. I'd been saved. I got saved at 17, as I told you, I've told you before. Various different ones planted seeds of the gospel in my life, from Pastor Ben to my parents to both sets of grandparents, Sunday school teachers. But on one Saturday, Brother John, who was John Weldon, a 15-year-old teenager at the time, came to my house, and I received Christ that day and prayed to receive Christ. But the problem was I didn't dig into that. I went to Sunday school some, but very little. So I went out into college years, and I started discovering all college had to offer. And I can name a lot of people that God put in my way. There was a guy named Trent who tried to get me involved in Baptist Campus Ministry, tried to get all of us involved in that. There's a lot of different guys. People here, still here. My parents still. My sister was very integral in bringing me back, along with my parents and grandparents, praying for me. There's a guy named Rob Bailey who was a youth minister here. I was not into his youth group, but him and Vicky Parker, when I came back here, gave me just a taste of serving in youth ministry. So I credit him with a little bit of that too. But in college, I was basically lukewarm. If you read Revelation 3, Jesus talks about the church at Laodicea, and he's specifically talking to the church, but it rings true in my heart what he says there in Revelation 3, and I'm going to read it to you, and then I'll wrap it up here. Revelation chapter 3. Let me take a little swig of water here. Verses 14 through 22, Jesus, it says to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and while others white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, and this is important too to remember here, those whom I love and rebuke, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with the Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear and what the Spirit says to the church. See, in college, I can remember specifically having conversations with different people saying, I don't have to be in church, I can worship God wherever I am. Because, to be quite honest with you, on Saturday night, I wanted to go out and do my own thing and party and have a good time and not get up and go to church or do anything else. And it's not just about going to church, but that was one thing. But I can remember there was different opportunities we had in Bible study, and we had a Bible study about this. And then I think it was a Thursday evening, we were having a Bible study in my house. And I don't know if you guys, there's one of the, Jonathan House is a pastor at Greystone Church now, which is so cool to me that God brought him over here. But he played tennis at Jacksonville where I was in the same fraternity I was. And he did a lot of work with West Georgia University and Jacksonville State University. They're not that far apart. So he worked with both of those groups and ministered to a lot of the guys. And he specifically came to our fraternity and tried to really speak into our hearts about Christ and what he did in his life and what he could do in our lives. And I was just rejecting all that. And we did have a Bible study at our apartment that one night. And Jonathan was leading it, I think. And then one of my other fraternity brothers kicked our door in and was intoxicated, if you will, and raising Cain, and we just, it was embarrassing to me. And as embarrassed as I was by that, I was more ready to get done with the Bible study than I was as embarrassed about that that happened. And that kind of, it was, is really convicting to me. And I went through that for about 5 years to where I was just, you probably even could say I was more on the cold side, really, than even in the middle, on the fence, and lukewarm. But praise be to God, he brought me back here and brought me out of that life and said, you've kind of been living for me, but you've been living a lot for the world. He said, I want all of you. Yeah, you got your fire insurance, but you never made me Lord of your life. So many years ago, we had a revival in the spring called Arms Around Snellville. And that 98, that summer, rededicated my life to Christ that year and began actually serving the Lord that had saved me and living for the Lord who had saved me and stopped trying to be one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. A perfect example of someone who was hot or cold and lukewarm that was about to get spit out. And I didn't want that. And God changed that in my life. And he used a lot of different people in my life to bring me back to that. So I am not hot or cold, but God will, says he will spit me out. So I'm going to get off the fence. And those are the five areas that, that God brought to me this week. And they are probably not the same for you. Some may cross up with some things in your life, maybe boldness, maybe courage, maybe patience. Maybe you feel like, you know, you're in that area that you're feeling lukewarm. Maybe God has given a message to you, and it may not be to preach, but maybe it's to teach a lesson to some group. Maybe it's a group of ladies. Maybe it's to sing a song, like the young girls did this week. And last week, Miss LaToya sang, right? She came up here and sang. Because God prompted her heart, the Holy Spirit moved her heart, said, I want you to sing. And I hope the Holy Spirit never asked me to do that. Please, y'all don't want to hear that. Because she can sing. I have no ability to sing. But he may ask me to one day. I don't know. But God, if he is prompting in your heart and you've been like, I'm not that God. I'm not a singer. So maybe, I don't know. But maybe there are things in your life that maybe it's helping with a fall festival and stepping out and saying, I just don't know if I want to be involved in things that interact with the community. I don't like people all that much. I would encourage you to give it a try, because what we said earlier about keeping the gospel to ourselves is true. It's not for us. It's for us to have in ourselves. It's for us to give away as well. Because we're going to have a massive mission field on the grounds of this campus like we don't see, but maybe once in a year. I mean, for real. They're going to be, most years, we typically have somewhere between 300 and 400 visitors. You're like, this little bitty church has that many people? Yes. And you ought to see it when it was in that gym over there and how crowded it got. I'm thankful it's out here. But last year, even in the height of COVID, and we now know COVID's not gone away yet, but even in the height of all of that, I believe, if I remember, Jim Lemke counted somewhere between 200 and 250 people he was registering. So if you think that's not, I would encourage you to try it. You don't have to be the person with the trunk. You don't have to be passing out information. But if you know how to operate a grill, if you know how to serve some food at a table, put a hot dog in an aluminum foil, there's a lot of things. So I'm promoting the Fall Festival, if you can't tell there, along with my sermon here. But if there's something you say, I can't do, I can't teach, I can't be involved in kids ministry, I can't be involved in worship, you know, I've never wanted to do that, whatever it is, I never worked with youth. Or maybe you say to yourself, I'm just not a patient person, I can't be patient, I can't be bold, I can't be courageous. Just know that all of these things are things that I'm not, but because of what God did in my life and is doing in my life and continues to change in my life, and trust me, I stumble and mess up on every one of these. But I'm going to continue to do my best to stumble forward and obey him and try to do what he says for me to do and say I will in my life. Just like these other examples of Paul teaching Timothy and the braveness of Peter and John and God's call in Joshua's life to be courageous and the words of the psalmist there to wait and the message to the church at Laodicea there in Revelation to John about not sitting on the fence but getting right with him. So let me encourage you today, whatever those things are in your life, let God open them up to you. Let's pray. Father God, well, my list could be more than five when I think about the things that I'm not. Lord, I don't believe I'm much of a preacher, God. But Lord, you give me the opportunity to preach and share your word. And Lord, my prayer is that what's been shared today might speak to the believers, the disciples, the followers of you, Lord, that we all have things in our lives that we see that we are not, whether that's preaching, whether that's being bold, whether that's being courageous, whether that's being patient, whether that's being hot or cold, and maybe that's something we have to look at ourselves at all of these things and look at what we're doing in our relationship with you, where we're at in our relationship with you. And know that in every one of these areas of our life, God, that we can say I'm not, but then we can say, but God. And we can look at these examples in Scripture and the testimonies of these different people in Scripture and how you use them, and just that, just so poignant when you see it says they looked and they saw that they were just unschooled and ordinary, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. Folks, that's what gives us boldness. When we're in that relationship with Jesus, we can be bolder than we ever thought we could be. We can be more courageous than we ever thought we had. We'll have patience that is beyond our understanding. We'll be able to preach or teach or share, and the Lord will get us off of our fence and take us out of a lukewarm state that we might be on fire for him. It's different for each of us, different areas for each of us, Lord. But Lord, I just pray today that your spirit would convict and move in our hearts today, Lord. And Lord, while the message may have been to mostly those of us in Christ, Lord, maybe there's one here today. Maybe you're here today and you've visited this church, you've been here a few times, or today's your first day and you're trying to understand what it is about Westside, the people here, the music here, the activities. And maybe you're just looking for hope in what seems to be a hopeless world, an angry, bitter world. Let me share with you today that you can find hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he offers himself to you today. And it does not have to be within the sanctuary of this church. I became a believer in Jesus. I was saved in the living room of my home. Those of us in testimony can have testimonies of being saved in churches, in revival meetings, in homes. There are people probably at this very hour being saved in prisons, in jungles, in foreign countries, all over this world. You can be saved. But today, if you're here and you're listening to my voice or you're listening online, we simply offer you an invitation to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've tried everything else. You've tried drugs. You've tried alcohol. You've tried relationships. You've tried everything. You've tried jobs. You've tried everything to make you happy, and you just can't fill that hole in your heart, in your life. I invite you to try Jesus today. Lord, if today might be the day of salvation for one, Lord, might you move in their heart. Might the Holy Spirit move in their heart to receive Jesus as Lord. God, I just ask you just to move today. Move in your people's heart, and whatever that means for them, if they need salvation, if they need to come and pray at the altar, if they need to make decisions in their lives when they think of things that maybe they're not, but they say, but God, help me with this, and I will. God, would you move this day? Lord, just move in your people's hearts today. Move in your people's hearts this upcoming week. Lord, during this time of invitation, I just ask your spirit to move, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand and sing with Rebecca. You gathered us here. You brought us here today, Lord, to worship you, Lord God. I pray that everything that was done and said today glorified you, Lord God. And Lord, that we have another opportunity to worship and glorify you, Lord, in our gifts that we bring back to you. We know it's all from you. You've given it all to us. Nothing we have is not from ourselves. It's from you, Lord. You bless us with the jobs that we have, the finances that we have. Lord, we give back a portion in our tithes and offerings to you. Pray that you might receive them, that you might do your will with them for the furtherance of your kingdom here in this place, Lord God. We give you all praise and glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. As the young people take up our offering today, I do appreciate everybody coming today. Thank you. Pastor John will be back next Sunday. Thankful for that. Thankful for him. Really do appreciate his heart to serve the Lord and to lead us at this church. They had a great time on their vacation. And again, there's no evening service tonight, so be mindful of that. So if you come tonight at 6, church is going to be dark and locked up, so there won't be anybody here. So if you need to get in, you might have to break in unless you got a key. Thank you, buddy. But also, next Sunday morning, again, there's no Bible study, so we just come at 10:45 for worship, and then we'll have our Fall Festival next Sunday afternoon. Fall Festival meeting is right now up here with Brother Matt, and please come and join us and be involved. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.